Amen. Good to see you this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for the ability, Lord, to be here in your house. We thank you for the freedom we have in the United States of America. And we thank you for all the men and women who died so that we would have the right to assemble, the right to free speech, the right to religious freedom. We thank you for that, Father, their sacrifice. And God, we honor them this weekend, God, and help us, Lord, as Christians, to remember their sacrifice. But even more importantly, Father, help us remember your sacrifice on the cross so we can have everlasting life. God, we thank you for all you've done. I pray, God, you bless this service. Lord, may you be glorified in everything that we say and do. We pray in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brother Joel, would you come up? It's good to see Brother Joe.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all pray for them. It's his first time here in a while. I'm sure they'd love to be here more. Brother Joe served in the Navy for many years, and I'm going to ask him to pray for the families of those who have fallen in remembrance of Memorial Day. You pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our country. Thank you for all those that have fallen. We're not here today to celebrate the life, but those that have given their life for their country. We're thankful for all the things that you provide for us. We're thankful for bringing us through this time of peril in the battle that we're fighting now with the virus, and pray that we would all stick by the stuff. We pray now that you'd watch over us and give us a good service this morning, that if there is anyone here that's not saved, today would be the day that they'd come to know you. We'll give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, amen. Good to see everyone this morning. Hope you are doing well. It's good to be in church. I told somebody this morning, hard to believe, but 1 year ago today, 1 year ago today was the first time I preached at North Gainesville Baptist Church. Hard to believe it's been 1 year. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 4 this morning. Jeremiah chapter 4. And looking at verse 14, Jeremiah chapter 4, looking, starting out with verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 14. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall they in vain thoughts lodge within thee? For a voice declareth from Dan, and publisheth affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention to the nations. Behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. My bowels, I am pain at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Father, we pray, God, that you would bless not only the reading, but the hearing of your word today. I pray if there be one in this room who's never accepted Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. Father, dear Father, draw that person to yourself before it is too late. I pray that you'd stir the hearts of your saints, Father, in this building. Help us, Lord Jesus, to have a greater love for you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to have a greater loyalty for you. And may, in the midst of the life that you've given us, may we learn the lessons that you would have us to learn, your great mercy and your great faithfulness to your people. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're thinking Memorial Day. I'm sure like many of you, I think of the men and women who gave the ultimate sacrifice so we could do what we are doing this very morning. We think of them as heroes. We think of them as heroes. Though they would probably not call themselves heroes or heroic, and that makes them even more heroes. This week as I was studying the Word of God, in the life of Jeremiah, I was thinking about his life and the impending judgment that he was preaching against, prophesying against. For 40 years, Jeremiah preached and prophesied the coming of the destruction of Judah if they did not repent. His ministry spanned the life of five kings of Judah. And during most of his ministry, the people did not want to hear his message. They didn't want to hear a message against sin, against personal idolatry, against coming judgment. But Jeremiah would not be deterred. He faithfully fulfilled the task of his God to the very end. What are the characteristics of a man who would give his very life and many in his years for God? And how should we describe this hero this morning? Well, first of all, Jeremiah had a love for the lost. Jeremiah had a love for the lost. He is known as the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. I love the words of Hudson Taylor on the parable of the 99 sheep, wrote, "Can all the Christians of England sit with folded arms while the multitudes in China are perishing for a lack of knowledge, for the lack of knowledge which England possesses so richly, which has made England what England is and made of what we are? What does the Master teach us? Is it not that if one sheep out of 100 be lost, we're not to leave the 99 and seek the one? But here the proportions are almost reversed. We stay home with the one sheep and take no help to the 99 which are perishing out in the world." When Jeremiah saw his people, it affected his heart. It affected his heart. He says there in verse 19, I'm pained in my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard on my soul the sound of a trumpet, the alarm of war. When he saw the situation which his people was in, it affected his heart. He saw them and affected his emotions, and his emotions stirred his passion for others. You know, Jesus had great compassion for his people. He came into his own received him not. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And with the heart that was affected, Jeremiah just didn't have a wellspring of emotions within him. He decided to do something about it. It says in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, he said, "I will make mention of him, nor will I mention him, nor speak any more of his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with both bearing. I could not stay." I had to speak. I had to say something. I had to share it. Dear friends, when we see those in need, it cannot be just a burden in our heart. We must do something about it. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, "But we cannot speak the things which we've seen and heard." How important it is for us to see. How important it is for us to see. That's why I implemented a door-to-door visitation program. And we go out and knock on doors and see the people who are lost in sin. How many times have we knocked on a door and they said to us, when we asked them of their relationship with Jesus Christ and their hope of heaven, most of them, many of them, did not even know how if they died today they'd get to heaven. That's why we passed out tracts to the University of Florida. Remember passing out tracts at one particular game, and I just saw the multitudes coming by me, and I was passing out tracts as fast as I could. And I thought to myself, the multitude of these people come for me do not know God, and they're going towards a devil's hell. Does that affect our heart when we see the multitude, when we see the need? It should more than just affect our heart. It should encourage us to do something, to say something. That's why it's so important that we see these missionaries as ambassadors of Christ who are giving their very lives to the cause of Christ. And we read their letters and we pray for them, many of them during much more restrictions than we're even going through right now, to share the gospel with those who do not know it. How important is this? Is it for us to see? How important it is for us to hear? Hear what people are saying. Hear the pain. Hear the problems that they're struggling with. And with compassion and care, we, by the grace of God, try to realize their need? How easy is it for us to grow cold and compassionate? That's compassionate, isn't it? We forget the sacrifice sometimes of those who died so we could have the opportunity to do what we're doing today. We don't think about those times except for maybe on Memorial Day or Veterans Day. How easy is it to get cold and forget what men and women have done for us, and how easy it is to forget the love that Jesus portrayed on dying on the cross so each one of us could have an everlasting life. It's so easy to forget. It's so easy to get cold. That's why, dear friends, I beg you, do all you can to get out amongst them and share the gospel with other people, lest your heart get cold. Lest your heart get cold. I'm praying this time next year we'll be planning, hopefully, a mission trip for our teenagers to go over to another land to see the needs that these people have. I would love to see that. Oh, dear friends, we need to see it. We need to hear it. Because by us hearing it and seeing it, we grow in our love towards God. My wife, about a month ago, decided to have put out back a bird feeder. A bird feeder. I thought, now we got two teenagers, we got two cats, and now we need a bird feeder. Feed all the birds in the world. So I saw her buy the bird feeder and a little hummingbird feeder. And I saw her go out there, put the thing out there. I saw her go out there and put the bird feeder stuff in it, the little worms in the bird feeder and the little juice for the hummingbird. I saw her go out there and do it day by day and day. And nothing happened at first. Then all of a sudden, little birds started to come. Little bluebirds. And she would look at the little bluebirds and said, oh, look at the little bluebirds. And then big bluebird would feed little bluebird. And it wasn't long. Now I'm feeding the birds. See, I didn't care anything about birds before any of this. But now I'm looking at the birds. Is it going to be a bluebird? Is it going to be a red bird? Is it going to be that mean old other bird? The starlings. And I'm feeding the birds. What I saw affected my heart. And now I'm doing it. Christians, get out amongst them. See them in their lost condition. It will affect your heart. Take one of those smiley, Jesus loves you, and give it to somebody. Place it before them and say, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. How important is it for us to love the lost? But not only that, we realize that Jeremiah not only loved the lost, he had a loyalty to the Lord. He had loyalty to the Lord. The Bible says in his declarations, Jeremiah chapter 42 and verse 4, whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare to you, I will keep nothing back from you. Jeremiah spoke only those things which the Lord told him to speak. He didn't have to share his feelings or opinions. Jeremiah said, this is what the Lord has told me to tell you. Judgment is coming. Doom is going to happen. He warned them. He warned the kings and warned them of judgment. And dear friends, that's what we have to do. We have to declare with the word of God. We have the word of God. We must faithfully declare what it says. Sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes it is hard. Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes in our situation, we don't want to. But folks, let us be simple messengers to share the gospel that's already been written before it's too late. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Tell the world there's a heaven to gain and that hell is hot. Before it is too late. About a year and a half ago, there was a man by the name of Tom. He was my neighbor for 17 years in Fort Myers. And I would see Tom and I invite him to a revival service. I'd invite him to revival service. I'd invite him to services. I'd invite him to special things at the school. And he wouldn't come. He wouldn't come. He wouldn't come. And I always thought, I'd look across the way and I'd see Tom. And I'd wonder if he was saved. I'd wonder if he was saved. And I'll never forget this day. I was cutting grass and I front lawn on a Saturday morning, and Tom came across the way and he looked emaciated. He looked very sick. He said, Marty, I just want to talk to you for a few moments. I said, what are you okay, Tom? And he said to me, Marty, I'm dying. In a few months, I have cancer. And I just wanted to say goodbye to you. Appreciate you being such a good neighbor. Appreciate you looking after me and you and I fellowshipping over all the years. At that moment, as the Spirit of God spoke to me, you need to ask him about Jesus. You know that feeling that you know the Lord is telling you need to ask him about Jesus. My flesh didn't want to, but the Spirit of God said, you need to ask him about Jesus. And we're standing there and I said, Tom, when you die, do you know you're going to heaven? How do you know you're going to heaven? And at that moment he said, I know I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. I know I'm going to heaven. And I was so glad. I was so glad that when he died, and he died just a few weeks later, that he placed his faith in Jesus Christ alone. Oh, he said, I'm not the best Christian, but my faith is in Christ. Dear friends, how important it is to declare the truth of the Word of God, because he is Lord and there is no other. Realize how much we need to share the gospel with him, our love for the lost and our loyalty to the Lord. We see our need to declare the truth of the Word of God to people. Not only in those days, but in days that are difficult. Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 6. They took Jeremiah and cast him in the dungeon of Malachiah, the son of Helek. It was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords in the dungeon. There was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Through the good days, we need to share the good truth. But during the difficult days, we need to share the truth. You know, the loyalty of our forefathers who signed the Declaration of Independence, I think about them this morning. Think about what they went through. I read the words of Ronald Reagan when he spoke in his famous speech, "We will be a city on a hill." He said, 56 men, a little band so unique, so we have never seen like since, pledged their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. 16 gave their lives, most gave their fortunes, and all of them preserved their sacred honor. What manner of men were they? Certainly not unwashed, revolutionary rabble, for they were adventurers of a heroic mood. 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants and tradesmen. 9 were farmers. They were men who achieved security but valued freedom more. And what price did they pay? What price did they pay? John Hurt was driven from the side of his desperately ill wife. After more than a year of living almost as an animal in the forest and in caves, he returned to find his wife had died and his children had vanished. He never saw them again. His property was destroyed and he died of a broken heart. But with no regret, only pride in the part that he played that day in Independence Hall. Carter Baxton of Virginia lost all his ships. They were sold to pay his debts. He died in rags. So it was with Ellery, Clymer, Hall, Walton, Gwinnett, Rutledge, Morris, Livingston, Middleton, Nelson, learning that Cornwallis was using his home for headquarters, personally begged Washington to fire on him and destroy his home. He died bankrupt. It has never been reported that any of these men ever expressed bitterness or renounced their action as not worth the price. 56 rank and file, ordinary citizens had founded a nation and grew from sea to shining sea, 5 million farms, quiet villages, cities that never sleep. Oh, what sacrifice! When I think of such sacrifice, I wonder, can I call myself an American? Can I deem to call myself an American? When such men and women pay the ultimate sacrifice so we could have the freedoms that we have today. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful country we live in. She is sick, but we still live in the greatest country in the world. Amen. Praise God for the United States of America. We see the love, his love for the lost, the loyalty to the Lord, but the lessons learned in his life. What are those lessons that he learned? That God is merciful. Aren't you thankful this morning for the very mercies of God? Mercy is not getting what you and I deserve. What do I deserve? Friends, today I deserve to die and go to a real hell. But aren't you glad that the greatest human being that ever lived, the God-man Jesus Christ, died so that we can have everlasting life? Jeremiah realized the mercy of God in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. As I recall in my mind, therefore I have hope. and it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Woo, how thankful I am for his compassions. In life, there'll be people who come and go. Some of their love for you will wax strong, and sometimes their love for you will wax cold. But my Lord's compassion and love for me is always the same. He loves me when I'm good. He loves me when I'm bad. Thank God for his compassion on us this morning. Do you fail in life? Do you fall down and struggle? Do you say things, especially during this pandemic, that you wish you didn't say? Do you get frustrated with politicians? Do you get frustration with policies? Do you get frustrated with procedures? Oh, yes, you do. But in the midst of it, we have a loving, compassionate Lord. His mercies fail not. Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Goodness might not be always in government, but my friends, God is always good. God is always good because his mercy endureth forever. Think of how merciful he's been on you this morning. Think about the compassion he's shown upon you this morning. Think about how many times you failed him. Today, probably already, you said something you probably shouldn't have said or thought something you probably shouldn't have thought. But he still shows mercy and compassion upon you. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. He's a God of mercy, and he's a God of faithfulness. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm so glad God's faithfulness just didn't stop one day. And say, okay, you got enough faithfulness. No, the Bible says it's new every morning. Oh, I need new every morning, don't you? I need to know when this world is not so faithful that God is faithful. I need to know when friends and family may not be faithful that God is faithful. I need to know when I know I'm not faithful that I still have a God that's faithful. He's faithful, dear friends, and he's true. And he will bring us through any pandemic. He will bring you through any problem. He will bring you through any struggle. Trust in the very character of God. He is merciful and he is faithful. During the American Revolution, Thomas Paine wrote, "Summer soldier, sunshine patriot, who would sometimes draw back from serving their country." And what a shame that may be. But dear friend, there's never been someone as faithful as our Lord. Psalm 119, verse 90, "Thy faithfulness is to all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Not only will be faithful to me, but in my kids' family, and their kids' family, and their kids' family, he will continue to be faithful. Oh, what a merciful, oh, what a faithful God we have. And dear friends, we have faithful examples all around us. I was thinking this week about John Newton, that great writer of the hymn, Amazing Grace. He wrote, "I commit my soul to the gracious God and Savior who mercifully spared and preserved me when I was an apostate, a blasphemer, and an infidel, and delivered me in a state of misery on the coast of Africa in which my obstinate wickedness had plunged me, and who has been pleased to admit me, though most unworthy, to preach his glorious gospel. I rely with humble confidence on the atonement and meditation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, which I have proposed to others as the only foundation whereto a sinner can build his hope, trusting that he will guard and guide me with the uncertain remainder of my life, and that he will admit me into his presence in his heavenly kingdom." Oh, he didn't say how good he was. He said how bad he was. But in the midst of realizing who he was, he realized there was a loving Lord who still would save him. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful Lord. John Newton had written on his tombstone, "John Newton, clerk, once an infidel, libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, Savior Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy." Reminds me of Saul Tarsus. He was someone who wrought havoc of the church. Someone was there when Stephen was murdered.
But on that fateful day, on that road to Damascus, he was gloriously saved. And God took a man who hated the church and transformed him to a man who loved the church and died serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you may think to yourselves, how can God save me? How can God save a wretch like me? But dear friend, if he stooped way down and saved old Party Hardy Marty Moon, he can save you too. If he saved John Newton, a slave trader, he can save you too. God can save anyone. Are you willing to be saved? Are you willing to be saved? This morning, so thankful for Jeremiah, his love for the lost, his loyalty to the Lord, and the lessons he learned in his life. We think about the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for the lost. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This weekend, we think about our dear patrons who went before us and died so we have the freedom to do what we are doing right now. And thank God for them. As Brother Rick said, I hope you take the time this weekend to stop before you eat the burgers, before you eat the hot dogs, before you spend time fellowshipping with the family. Take a little time and thank God for the men and women who sacrificed everything so we can have this opportunity. Thank them. Be thankful for them. But dear friends, I'm so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he paid the ultimate price, that he shed his blood on the cross so we could have everlasting life. I'm so thankful. Are you thankful this weekend? The same thankfulness for our dear patrons, our servicemen who gave everything so we could have the privilege. But even more thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ who gave it all so we would have the freedom to do this today and every day, to spend time with God. How is your love for the lost, dear Christian? Have you lost it? In the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of all the problems that we have, the politics, the procedures, have you lost your love? Have you got your mind so much on Corona that you've forgotten Christ? And the cost of the cause of Christ. It's easy to get diverted. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get defeated. But remember the cost. Remember the cause. Everybody that you see is going to a heaven or hell. May we, in the midst of all that we're going through, realize the greatest need. The greatest need that someone has is not a mask. The greatest need that someone has is not a vaccine. The greatest need that someone has is not quarantine. The greatest need that someone has is Jesus Christ. Because we're all going to die someday. Amen. If cancer doesn't get you, heart attacks will. If that don't get you, walk across the street and try to live on 39th Street. We're all going to die one of these days, dear friend. It's not if we're going to die, it's when we're going to die. But if you die with Jesus, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Oh, dear friend, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Christian, have you lost your love? Have you lost your loyalty to Christ? And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, let me beg you, let me plead with you. There's no better time, there's no better place to know that you know that you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Jesus Christ, the reason why he came, the sole reason why he came, was to fulfill the will of the Father, the prime directive, to die on that old rugged cross, to shed his blood on that cross, to give you the opportunity to have everlasting life. His blood, his shed blood, paid for your sin, covered your sin. So you can have everlasting life. And now, friend, all you have to do is believe it. Believe it. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, you may be a sinner today and wondering how I can be saved. Look, look, look to Jesus. And he will save your soul. Look to him. And he will save your soul. Dear Father, we thank you, God. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for poor wretches as we are. Oh, Father, we're so unworthy. We're so unworthy, Lord, for your salvation, God, but we're so thankful for it. We're so unworthy, God, for the sacrifice of so many men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice to give us the freedoms that we have today. The freedoms that we have today. But Lord, we're so thankful for them. Oh God, I pray for someone, maybe even today in this place, or maybe someone who's listening to my voice or hearing this sermon, if they don't know Christ as their Savior, dear Father, draw that one to themselves. Help them to realize that they're a sinner. And by faith and faith in God alone, and Christ shed blood on the cross, they can have wonderful salvation in Him alone. And by the grace of God, help them to call upon you so that they can be saved. Saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, the crucified one. Oh, Father, I pray for Christians, even now, God, you'd help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to be discouraged. Help us, Lord, not get to a place, Lord, where we realize, God, that we get so frustrated, upset, God, that we forget the prime directive to reach the lost with any cost, by any cost. Oh, God, help us to see their need, and God, help us to be loyal to you. I pray in Jesus' name.